Okay, tonight we have Carol Ann visiting. She's going to share her experience, strength, and hope. Thank you so much, Carol Ann.
Great, thank you, Kim. I'm Carol Ann, compulsive reader.
Hi, Carol Ann.
Being that I know most of you in this meeting, but the recorder does not know me, I will talk a little bit about, you know, what my experience has been like in the last 13 years that I've been in program. And I'm going to start with saying, you know, I was telling someone as I was walking in that, you know, I went home from work and I changed and everything because it was cold from the rain. And here it was like, there was a time I would have to come to this meeting because I was speaking tonight, but I'd have to look, I should keep my work clothes on, I should have my makeup done and be, you know, properly, because what are you guys going to think of me? You know, me who comes in sweats all the time. What are you going to think of me? And that's because my whole life, you know, I was always worried about what are people thinking of me, not fitting in. But I can't say that I always was that person who wanted to be dressed like that. It depended where I was in my disease. If I was abstinent and on the thinner side, I was dressed in mighty good clothes, mind you. My closet is filled with, you know, a lot. But when I was in the disease and I was eating every day and I couldn't even find clothes to fit is when I wore the sweats every day. And I didn't care if the makeup was done or the hair was thrown up. Different from when I'm, you know, it's nighttime or I'm coming from the gym. But I went to work like that. I went to work finding clothes that I thought would cover me so nobody would notice I'm gaining the weight. But that's not the way it went. So basically me saying that is saying I wore my disease. I wore my disease not just in the weight, I wore my disease in the way I carried myself and the way I presented myself. And pretty much the way I acted with other people. I'm a somewhat irritable person. And I can't say that, you know, being in recovery, I don't always get a niche of, you know, the irritability or, you know, I work the program now. I recognize these things. There was a time when I was in the food and I was struggling. That was my whole life. Nobody wanted to talk to me. No one wanted to be by me. It was a horrible time. And I often compare it to other addicts, you know, maybe of alcoholism or drug addiction and think about, you know, when they talk about their low bottoms, that was my low bottom. So my story is, you know, I was a very, very skinny child, very skinny. Actually, my mother and my grandmother were very concerned because I only ate certain things and I was super thin and blah, blah, blah. And then I went through that adolescent stage where you just put the weight on, and I put the weight on, and that's because I discovered that I wasn't that picky of an eater. I wasn't, you know, that worried about, you know, all those things that my grandmother and my mother worried about. And you know, I come from a family that's, you know, of all different sizes, so it never really was a big issue. I was always lost. I'm one of four girls, and I still never really felt part of. Even in a house full of people, I still felt alone. So me and my sisters used to all use food. We were home, you know, after school by ourselves. And this weight thing did continue. And my weight, you know, got pretty high, I would say, by the adolescent years. And still really never seeing that I had a problem until about 15, 16, I discovered exercise, and me and my sister just decided to exercise. I started a job, wasn't, you know, eating as much because I was working all the time, believe it or not, in a pizzeria. And I just dropped weight, you know, by chance, and got really thin and loved it. And never wanted to go back to that, and kept it off for a long time, just eating what I wanted, but minimal, like pretty much living on certain foods. And then I yo-yoed again. And I would say all through my years after high school, to about, you know, just a few years ago, I yo-yoed. And when I say yo-yoed, it wasn't a matter of 5-10 pounds. It was a matter of, as I've shared many times, I've gained and lost over 100 pounds, you know, more than once. And, you know, I always like to bring up, they say this all the time, you know, my girlfriend's, her now husband, it was her, we went to high school together, so then it wasn't her husband, but he said to me, he goes, "You're kind of like Oprah. Every time I see you, you're a different size." And I was like, you know, oh, God. I said, they recognize it. They see it. They see that I'm a different size every day. Like, and mine was drastic. It wasn't just over, I haven't seen you in 10 years. Mine was, I cannot see you in 2 weeks. And bam, oh, my God, what just happened to her? You know, I saw the reaction on people's faces. And no one really wanted to ever say anything to me. I had one uncle who said something, and it still didn't hit me. He said, "Kara, what happened to you?" I said, "Oh, I've been working like a dog." He goes, "Well, and eating like one, too." Because he realized how fast I put on that weight from when he last saw me. And he's pretty verbal about things like that. And it's still, like, it was heartbreaking that he recognized it, but I still didn't think I had a problem, that it was, like, an issue that I was, I mean, I did, but I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I came to the rooms through a therapist for going, thinking I had other problems. And this therapist, you know, recommended I come here, and when I did, I said, this is not for me, because I was in college and was taking classes. I went back to school for special ed. And there was a lot of, you know, I was young, and there was a lot of retired women and older women. And I felt they were just sitting around talking about their daughter-in-laws and bitching about, you know, stupid stuff that I had nothing. And a lot of them were overweight. And I couldn't figure out what they were doing here. And I don't fit in. I just want to stop yo-yoing. I don't have a compulsive overeating problem. That's why the name always got me in this program. You know, I had a problem with yo-yoing. Not a compulsive overeater. I don't compulsively overeat. I don't, you know, do that stuff. I might binge, but I didn't recognize what that was all about until I walked into the rooms and really saw what it was like. And just like my past, I came into the rooms, and it was around this time, 13 years ago, dabbling in and out, and finally I decided to stay, got this sponsor, who was only my sponsor for a short period of time, and I got abstinent right away, because I used it as a diet. And I got abstinent right away, and lost that abstinence about 3 months into it. You know, I got very thin, was feeling great. Was at my sister's bridal shower. I got super drunk and started eating sugar and couldn't stop. And that's when I went to, really saw myself in OA, and went to a meeting that, her shower was on a weekend, went to a meeting that Monday, and cried it out to these women that I had nothing in common with. And that's where I met my sponsor, and who's my sponsor still to today, 13 years. And I met her and another woman who, the woman grabbed me and said, "We're going to help you." And they co-sponsored me for a while in the beginning. One was doing the steps, one was doing the food. And that only lasted a short period of time, because the other one had passed. And that began my journey, and when I really started to understand what this disease was about. And you know, if anyone has ever heard me, you know, share, I do share on this this quote that I love, and I'm going to read it again, because it's such a part of who I am and my journey. It's, "Our pain and despair are signs of a deep inner need. This need, hunger or desire, gnaws at the core of our being. It could be a cry for unconditional love, respect, nurturing, acceptance, or joy. Many of us turn to other people, to drugs, to alcohol, to food, or any other addiction to fill this need, to gain some sense of safety, self-worth, and well-being." And that's what it was. I was trying to fill this emptiness inside of me, looking for some kind of safety, self-worth, or well-being. And I wanted that unconditional love that I wasn't finding from people. I wanted that unconditional acceptance. I wanted to be someone that I was not. And the reason I always read that, or because it stays with me, it stays in my, in, you know, in my notes here, because what I learned in OA, that food was just a substance. It was just a substance, and there was something greater going on inside. Because with that substance, when I say food is a substance, it could be a substance of anything. I call my disease now, not even about compulsive, I have a disease if I want more. Because it could be anything. So I want more because I need to fill and fill and fill. So there was something greater inside that I was looking for. And I was using food to fill me because food is my drug of choice of all the things I ever picked up. And today, thank God, you know, I have a relationship with a higher power who fills me, but I didn't always have that. And they told me I'm talking for 45 minutes, so I now I'm going to read a couple of my notes because I can talk, but I'll probably start going off topic. I started using this food for comfort, and I could not stop. So here, after I broke that abstinence, again, I yo-yoed and yo-yoed and yo-yoed for years. You know, I got these two sponsors, and they stuck with me. I mean, here, 13 years, it wasn't like I was abstinent for 13 years. They stuck with me, and until the one had passed, the other one stuck with me. And she taught me so many things. And the most important thing that she taught me, two things that I tell any newcomer or anybody struggling, was keep coming back, because this is how it happened, even through my struggles, and just keep being honest. She always said to me, just keep telling the truth. I hear I was crying to her about the food, and she goes, keep telling the truth, honey. You know what? If you keep telling the truth, it's going to happen. And I'm thinking, what the hell is she talking about? I'm telling the truth every time I talk to her. What is she talking about? And she said, the truth is pure God. You're never too far from God if you're in the truth. And that really stuck with me. The truth was, I ate again. And it kept on going on and on and on. I ate again. And for me, you know, some people talk about the despair and the heartache of the being the food. It wasn't always like that. Majority of the times, there were some fun times with food. There were some great times that I wasn't thinking, you know, when I wasn't really feeling like, I wasn't like excessively binging. So I was like, oh, that's okay. So I'm eating to fit in. And I'm eating to be like everyone else and have fun. But I wasn't really having fun. Because what happened was, here I was doing all that, and friends, family members, whoever, they'd stop. They would go on with their business. Maybe it was a holiday. Then Monday, they'd get up, they'd go back to, and they'd probably eat their leftovers and do everything normal. But not me. I couldn't do that. I thought I was starting my diet the next day, but I couldn't. Because once that physical craving started, I couldn't stop it. So here I had that spiritual malady that I was looking to fill something. And then I started with the physical craving every time I picked up and started binging. And these people were different, because they might be binging like me. And that's why I never really felt I was anything different, because my family is a big part of my life. And even some friends, but they were stopping. And the difference was the feeling I got from that food. And it talks about it in the big book, and it talks about ease and comfort. The ease and comfort he got from the first drink. The ease and comfort I got from that food. And today, you know, seeing a therapist, I realize there's so much that gives me ease and comfort. Because I ask her sometimes, I'm like, why? When did I start doing this? Like, when did I, like, whatever behavior it is. I said, oh, honey, you've been probably doing it a lot longer than you thought, you know. And that was the same thing with the food. It could have been that one day that I had that binge, and it gave me that ease and comfort of, like, maybe it's like, oh, I could talk to everyone. I could hang out, just like I could do with a drink. You know, now I'm open. Now I can, you know, I'm going to be myself, eat whatever I want. I don't have to stay away from that line and be different. I'm going to fit in with everybody and just sit and eat whatever I wanted. and it never happened. And I that ease and comfort that I was looking for, or that I thought the food was giving me, never really gave me. I mentioned, you know, when I was reading that about it could be any addiction, and for me it's a disease of more, and I can use anything. I am in multiple programs, and I'm also a shopaholic that I work on, that I don't believe, you know, is a program, but it's definitely, you know, I could see it as a behavior. And where that all comes is, you know, what I read and me looking for that ease and comfort, I was looking for an outside solution for an inside problem. And that was when I finally realized, not that it went, oh, now you're looking for this problem, and then it made me get abstinent. But I started to see, I will use anything. It doesn't have to just be food. So I continue to use anything. And I got abstinent. I did get abstinent. So here I'm struggling all that time with that sponsor. And the truth is, and I say this all the time, I didn't really want to stop eating. I just didn't want the consequences that come with eating. And it's kind of like my defects or anything else. I don't really want to give them up. I just don't like the consequences that come with them. So with the food, I didn't like that feeling of waking up, bloated, disgusted, nothing fit me, blah, 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 blah. I didn't ever want to give up. So then here's this day, I get abstinent. What was different that day? Why that day, you know, did I not care about the consequences or anything? Because I surrendered and I didn't care about anything. And I said, God, just help me not have, you know, blah, 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 something I was having all the time. And help me to just eat these abstinent meals. And I don't even remember what it was at that time. It was probably some crazy thing that I used to follow, because I was always on these different food plans because I used to work out, which was, you know, only when I was abstinent, of course. And so here things were different, and I finally was willing to give up, and I did. And I surrendered, and I had some good abstinence, and I lost a lot of weight over time. That's when I lost 100-plus pounds. And then I started getting rocky again, and I found my recovery needed. You know, I was starting to do that looking again, looking for that outside solution again, not staying. I was coming to meetings all the time. I was very active in OA. Matter of fact, I was going to a meeting every day at some point in time, when I was eating and when I was not eating, at different times in my you know, journey. But I was missing that effect. I liked the effect that food gave me, and I was missing that effect, but I didn't want the food. So what I was doing, I was going back to old behaviors of, and I have to share this, I know it's a different program, but it's part of my story. I went back to drinking, and I went back to, you know, occasionally using drugs, and occasionally doing this, or like I said, when the drugs and alcohol and food were all down, then I was shopping, and I mean, I don't mean shopping, like how I would do with the food. It wasn't like I gained 5 pounds over, you know, a week. I gained 20 pounds over a week. I didn't just shop for a new pair of shoes. I had to buy 20 pairs of shoes. So I wanted that effect again, and I started looking. And I started drinking again, and I was drinking, and every time, my sponsor, who's in both programs as well, I would say to her, I got really, really drunk last night, and I'm so glad. I remember calling her. I didn't eat. You know, all my friends went out afterwards. I went too, but I had something abstinent. As drunk as I was, I knew not to eat that stuff. Oh, like, this is great. You know, so I knew. I had self-knowledge. And it kept on happening and kept on happening. And I was looking forward to my weekend drinkings. And whether it was getting really, because I'm a blackout drinker as well as I'm a blackout eater. And what happened was the day I drank and picked up the food again. And that's when I said, oh crap, I'm in trouble. Because I did not want to go back into the food. I didn't want to go back into those consequences of eating. I didn't want to go back into the hell. And food is my drug of choice. I was using the other things just to substitute. And then the food took over. Then I didn't even care about drinking anymore because now food's back in. So who cares about the drinking and the drugs? And you know, once one thing's there, then it's like, ah, whatever. So I started struggling, and by the suggestion of my sponsor, never telling me what to do, always a suggestion, she reminded me that people who think they have a problem with drinking, And people who don't have a problem with drinking don't usually think they have a problem with drinking. Just like eating. Like, I don't think I have a problem if I didn't have a problem. So I started going to meetings, which, another 12-step program, and I could go to any 12-step program, and it would, you know, I'd fit in. And I'd have periods of sobriety and periods, you know, which would make me have periods of abstinence, and then I would relapse, and then I would relapse with the food, and they went hand in hand, because that's what my disease does. I'm looking for anything that's going to give me an effect. Little did I know that I needed, you know, God to fill that. I needed, and I say this all the time to anybody I sponsor or anybody I talk to, the answers in more spiritual development. So anytime I'm struggling, if I feel I'm looking for something, what's going on with me inside? Because now it's always in it. Now I realize it's an inside problem. That stuff is just a symptom. You know, those substances are just a symptom of something greater. What's going on with me inside? And I need to get grounded and I need to get spiritual. And that's when my journey changed. I would say it was right before that. You know, I was having periods of abstinence, periods of not, and then I had some abstinence, and then I said, okay, well, this alcohol thing has to go too, because this abstinence feels better than, you know, anything. And I celebrate 2 years of sobriety this month as well. So it's a very, you know, it's a big month for me, February, because it's my birthday, and I used to be one of those, because, you know, it's all about me. I'm an all about me person. I'm the person who, you know, we celebrate the whole month for my birthday. Like, people do birthdays. Some people do birthday weekends. And they're like, we should get the whole week or the whole month, especially since February was short. You know, I get the whole time. I want everything to be this big. I needed the attention. And it's not even that anymore. You know, it's amazing that it's not even that anymore, because my celebration of sobriety is really the celebration of life. That's when my life changed. So in the last 2 years, my abstinence has changed completely, you know, within periods and not periods. And I'm never going to say that it is perfect, because it's not. By far, it's not. And I never want it to be. Because one thing I learned in this program is I hope that the food will always humble me. Because I wouldn't be looking to do the service, you know, in February. I wouldn't be looking to go, you know, to meetings and how I could fit this in. And, you know, Sunday I went to 2 because, you know, my home group was having a celebration. And then I was going to this other speaker thing at night. But that's okay. I wouldn't be doing that if the food didn't humble me. Because when I get too complacent, like I did for all those years of, I'm doing good, I work out. You know, people used to say to me, oh, you look great. Like, you'll never get back to that size. Because I was so hesitant to get rid of all those clothes. You'll never go back there. And I'm thinking, like, they have no clue. They have no clue. I would love to say that I can never go back there. But they'd have no... And then for a while, I used to believe them. I was thinking, well, I'm back to running, and I'm back to working out, and it's not going to happen to me. Because now this is an important part of my life, and I'm not going to let that happen. If I had any control, I wouldn't let it happen. But I don't have that control. And that's one thing I heard from a speaker not too long ago, and she's actually a good friend of mine, and we'd share about it all the time. Whether it be in these rooms or out in the public, there by the grace of God go I. And I look at people sometimes and I automatically want to get judgment. My sisters belong in these rooms, my family members. Again, that's why I never saw it as a problem, because they were doing it too, and they'd say, oh, I do that all the time. Didn't do to me, you know, to them what it did to me. And that's what I say all the time. It's not how much or how little you eat. I learned this in AA, because I used to say it with drinking, but it's really with food too. It's what that food does to you. So it doesn't matter if, you know, you're just an overindulger, or if you're a gutter eater like me, or if you just do the occasional binge here and there. It doesn't matter how much or how little. It's what that food did to me. And it did to me different than it does to them. Even though they eat just like me, and they binge, and they pick out. Maybe not just like me, because I'm gutter. And when I say gutter, I mean driving around to search for that. That's why I say it's like a drug. I used to go from place to place having no money, going through the drive-thru, giving him my Mac card, and I didn't even have the money in the, you know, ATM, in the Mac thing, the bank. and no cash on me, because, you know, at that time when I'm eating, I don't care about stuff like that. I didn't care that my bills were, you know, outrageous. And I'm glad I brought that up, because that's the miracles of this program. So here over the last 2 years, it was a little before that, because I did have my great periods. It was just like, you know, some rocky roads in that time. You know, I came into this program, a broken woman, you know, married at 19, divorced by my early 20s, with a drug addict himself, just broken in the sense of couldn't stop yo-yoing, in debt, you know, obviously I told you didn't care what I looked like at certain times. And today, not to say that that's, you know, well, everything is different, but the miracles are, you know, not only did I get myself out of debt, you know, I saved enough money to put a down payment on a condo of my dreams. Maybe that specific condo was not, but my dream was to live by the beach, and I didn't care if I had to sacrifice size for location. I took the smallest place, and I am right on that beach, and that has been my, you know, that's been my forever dream. And, you know, I hold 2 master's degrees. I am very, you know, to me, I see success as different. It's not what's in my bank account. It's what I do with my job. I'm very active, you know, with the, with giving to the community and giving to the population in which I work with. I work with mentally and physically challenged, you know, autistic, multiply disabled adults and children. And it's a big, huge part of my life, very involved in my life. And I'm pretty much with something all the time, you know, doing for, you know, whatever organization I'm working for. And I still try to do as much as I can for the programs, because they gave me so much. And you know, just this year, I've been talking to a lot of people. Service is a huge part of it. You know, here I have all these gifts that I'm talking about. So I have these things. I, you know, my defects are slowly going, but they're going. And as most of you know, I ran my first marathon last year, you know, last spring. And it's something I would have never done in the you know, before the program. I would have wanted to, but I had the fear that I can't do it, that I'm not good enough. And you know, and I continue to work on myself all the time. I started therapy again, which is great, to address things that, you know, the 12 steps could not address, more mental, emotional stuff, and, you know, OCD behaviors that I have. And this is all just keeps on making me grow and grow and grow. And that's what I learned. You know, I said earlier about looking for an outside solution for an inside problem. I didn't realize that all these years that I was having all that trouble with all these different substances, I didn't realize the problem was really inside. And I had to get to what was going on inside. And here I was looking for that outside solution, and the solution was right in God. And today I work on that relationship with God, because it's not perfect, and it's not as, you know, it's not as strong all the time as I'd want it to be. Sometimes it's really strong. I do rely completely on God. I have a God of my understanding today. I was raised Catholic. I hated the Catholic Church when I walked in here. I hated the whole concept of everything. Today I have this concept of God. That's my understanding. God to me fills me. And every day is a gift. I thank God for everything I do. Every workout, thank you for the willingness and the ability to work out. Every meal, you know, I try to remember. And if not, like I get in the car after work, thank you for the gift of abstinence right now. Please help me for the rest of the day. I try to say throughout the day, just like I would talk to anyone else, because that's how I develop, you know, more spiritually. I keep on seeing all the different gifts, because I couldn't do this by myself. I tried. And every once in a while, again, why I want the food to always humble me. When I think I can do it by myself, I need something to slap me in the face and say, you better get back down on your knees and go to the person who's helping you. Because that happened not too long ago. And my great friend over here, you know, and I had a long talk, and I said it out loud, again, the truth, that I didn't even know what was going on. And it was like smack in the face. Oh, my God. this is what's going on with me. I need to get back. And because, you know, for a while I was very active in AA. I'm going to meetings. It's all the same thing, isn't it? No. My butt needs to be here because I need to be talking about what my primary drug of choice is. And there, by the grace of God, go I can easily go back one bite. I am no further away from a bite than anyone else. A lot of people use that line, the person who woke, you know, the person who has the most abstinence is the person who woke up this, you know, earliest. Bullshit. I mean, sorry. No, because guess what? I used to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'd start eating already. So it doesn't mean that I'm absent because I was up a little earlier than you. If I'm eating, I'm eating. It has nothing to do with my time. I start eating that early. It just gave me more time to eat. So, you know, I try to remind myself all the time, I have no guarantee, no security in this abstinence. I need to remember that all the time. I am just as vulnerable to food as someone else. You know, it just gets easier because I do the work that this program has taught me about. And I start to see the promises and I start to want to be, you know, more spiritual. So my prayer has been, help me to want you, God, more than I want the food, more than I want the substance. Because I want those things for that ease and comfort. Today I want God for that ease and comfort. So when I'm feeling shaky, help me to want you more than I want that. Because I'm looking for something to give me that instant fill. That's always what I wanted, the instant fill. And I'm going to end with that and allow, it's a small group, so everyone will have time to share if they want. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.